Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on my fourth and last CD of my true life sightings of Bigfoot out here in Rogers County. I'll start off with my story of the October 30th, 2007 black powder deer hunt. It's black powder deer season in Oklahoma. For those that don't know what black powder is, it's a form of hunting with the old rifles of yesterday. In other words, the rifles our great-great-grandpa's used. They're wonderful old rifles that were more accurate than people really realized. There's a flintlock and ball, then a cap and ball. The difference is the ignition of the powder. Anyhow, I hunt with the cap and ball. You have to load the black powder down the bore of the rifle, followed by a projectile called a ball, which is the bullet. Then you put the copper cap on the ignition for it to ignite. After you pull the hammer back, squeeze the hammer falls on the cap, which sets off the powder, which then sends the ball, lead ball, down the bore. It takes a while to get the hang of it, anyhow, to my story. This morning of October 30th, I went to my tower stand number one to hunt the deer hunt. It was a beautiful morning, light wind. The leaves are starting to turn those beautiful auburn and red and gold colors. A couple of does came by, the corn feeder I'd set out. I could have legally harvested one of the does, but I chose not to because I'm only after a big buck to eat and display on the wall. It also has to be larger than the huge buck I already have on the wall from the previous year. But nothing more of importance happened other than those playful squirrels romping around and chasing each other. So about noon, I came back to the house, being that nothing else happened, and had me a nice lunch of big salad, beans, cornbread, washed it all down with some iced tea. That was very good. Took a little rest, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I decided to head back to a different stand, stand number three. I always hunt stand number three with a little difference of a feeling. That's the one I normally see the Bigfoots from. So when I do sit in that stand, I'm kind of glad, hoping to see another Bigfoot. But then a little dread, too, because they usually scare the tar out of me. Now that I've had a lot of Bigfoot sightings and face-to-face encounters from that stand, I noticed that the lack of anything was moving. There was no squirrels this time, or birds, or ducks flying overhead. The wind had settled down to about 10 miles per hour. And all of a sudden, I hear three tree knocks. They came from the south, then four, then two, then it stopped. I knew what it was and thought, well, that's what scared all these critters away. He's back in the woods again. I continued my surveillance of the surrounding woods from the safety of the tower stand, all snuggled in the little 4x4 covered 15-foot tall platform with walls and overhead cover on it to keep me out of the rain. Had all my stuff with me. I'm one for the long haul till it gets dark. Too dark to see the sights on my black powder rifle. When it gets that dark, then it's time to come in, unless I have my night vision and I'm going to sit there and look for Bigfoot. It's amazing how the colors change in the different spots in the woods give up their shadows with the setting of the sun. What was dark becomes light, or it becomes lightened up, if but for a few minutes, as the setting sun filters through the lights into the dark recesses of the soul of the forest. And what was lightened up slowly becomes dark, dark to the secrets it will once again hold for the rest of the night. It is now 6 o'clock in the evening. I've got a good hour left on the precious light to see anything with. Now, Bigfoot is always on my mind because I've seen him so many times. especially from that part of the property. But another menacing animal which prowls these woods, and that's mountain lions. Seen them a couple of times, and I don't think they have read the same books that I have in that they're supposed to be afraid of us humans. So there was many things I was looking for other than a big buck. Here's a neat trick for you to try sometimes if you're in the woods for you people that are not wood savvy. If you don't have a watch on, you can tell what time it is by the sun. What you do is you stretch out your arm and count the fingers on your hand, putting your fingers on the earth and the other finger under the sun. Now each finger is 30 minutes. So if you have four fingers between the sun and the earth, you have 2 hours till dark. It works, and I use the old mountain man method all the time. Well, I had two fingers, and that means it's 1 hour before it got dark when it happened. First, from the west of me, about 100 yards or less, came this breaking of branches and the heavy stomping. My heart started to race as I imagined a big buck breaking through the branches of the woods. He was really tromping around, breaking branches, and I thought maybe it was a buck in rut, and he was polishing them horns up on some tree branches. Either way, he was coming my way. All I had to do was sit there and get ready. Then all of a sudden, the limbs on the trees sounded from where the noise was coming from, sounded like someone with a sledgehammer was knocking the limbs off. Just kind of a smack, crack, smack, crack, smack, crack, then a whoosh thud as the tree was pushed over. It sounded like a fairly large tree. It didn't sound like a small sapling. Then a few more stompings, and all was quiet. I sat in the stand with keen interest directed toward the sound, as a hawk watching its prey. All my senses was on that direction, from where at this time, realizing it was probably a Bigfoot was at. I don't know how he determined I was there, because the wind was straight out of the north about 10, 15 miles an hour, and he was way to the west of me. So anyhow, then I got to thinking, how did he know I was there? And the wind, you know, like I was saying, the wind was in my favor. Then it dawned on me, my Kawasaki mule is nearby. And from his line of sight, being on the ground, he could see it. He couldn't see me, because I'm up in a tree, hidden by hundreds of other treetops. But the mule is in the line of sight with him, and he knew what my mule was, probably. He'd probably seen it many times. Oh my God, what bad luck for me. I'm feeling really backstabbed at this point, but because of my health, I have to have that mule for transportation to get to and from the house and the deer stands. And I sat there and wondered what would have happened if I hadn't have driven that mule. Still plenty of light left, and the way he was coming, he would have walked right by me. Well, now it's dark, and I'm still waiting for him to make a mistake and come closer, but he don't. He just stays right where he's at to see what I'm going to do. Or so it seemed anyhow, because I never heard him move. I slowly come out of the stand. It's dark now, and I don't have a flashlight, and I start home. On the way home, I did a lot of thinking. And the thought kept coming back to me that if I hadn't have driven the mule, the Bigfoot would have walked right by me. But what good would that have done? There's no way I was going to shoot him with that black powder rifle, because I only got one shot. Sure, the mountain men killed grizzly bear with them. They even killed buffalo. But that's all they had, so they had to. It was either that or starve. The black powder is a very powerful weapon, but I wouldn't hunt a dangerous game not knowing if it was dangerous or not. I definitely wouldn't shoot a grizzly bear with one unless I had somebody backing me up with a 300 Winchester Magnum or something like that. And so far, these animals have proven not to be dangerous as of yet. They have thrown rocks at us. They've hollered and screamed. But basically, no one's ever been attacked. No one's ever been killed. And each deer season will be different because each deer season, something else happens. Another hunter sees the creature. More stories. Now, November the 2nd of 2007, during another black powder deer hunt, I got up in the morning and went to tower stand number one. Nothing spectacular about it. Regular morning, except it was a lot cooler. The air was really crisp. Not much sign of anything. No deer. Feeder went off at 0700 hours. But no deer showed up to eat the corn, which was kind of strange. A couple of blue jays decided to squawk at me, get my location away from other trees that saw me. They kept giving me a pretty good cussing for about 10 minutes, and then they flew away. The thought maybe the way they were chirping and screaming, don't know if they were really looking at me or if they saw something coming. A blue jay is a hunter's best friend, because as long as he don't see you, if he sees something else, he will go to just squawking and scalding them. So you know something's coming or something's going. You just don't know what it is. Could be a bobcat, could be a deer, could be another person, or it could be a Bigfoot. So you never know it, but you want to, when you hear the birds, especially blue jays squawking and crows, you want to pay special attention. The morning went pretty uneventful, so I left the stand at 11:30 and headed back to the house for lunch. After lunch, I did some chores around the house and took a little nap. And after the nap, I woke up. I was refreshed and decided a new plan of strategy and headed for stand number five. Now, the time I got all set up in stand number five, it was 4:00 in the evening, which is kind of late. But actually, the deer don't start moving till right there about 30 to 45 minutes before total dark, during hunting season, that is. And I figured, well, getting there late like that, I don't have to set so long till the sun goes down. But the description of stand number five is, it's just a plain 8-foot tall stand with a swivel seat on top of it. It's got a 4-foot square platform. It doesn't have any walls or a roof at this point, which will be added on later. So I'm pretty much exposed to the elements, except I'm 8 foot off the ground, and I'm on the side of a hill, and there's so many small scrub oaks that anything taller in that area would have put me up in the treetops, and I couldn't have seen less than 15 feet from the bottom of the tree that I was in. So I build these stands out here to correspond with the terrain of where they're going to be used at, so that the hunters can get maximum visual but not be seen. So being that I'm sitting there on the toadstool, if I move too much, I'm going to be seen. The only advantage of that stand was I was above their line of sight, but I had to remain very, very, very still. The weather was very comfortable, a little on the cool side. The wind was about 5 miles per hour out of the north. Sun has broke through the cloudy sky. The colors were just brilliant. They flooded the forest of hickory trees and acorn trees. I had one little gray squirrel and entertaining me, gathering up the nuts, the acorns in his mouth. Then he was busily hopping around and burying them in other spots of the forest. I suspect he'll get ate by a hawk or some critter And then later on, the nuts he buried will grow into some more acorn trees, such as life. And that's actually the way the forest had begun. It is very peaceful by now, and I look at my watch, and this is one of the times I did take my watch, and it was already 6:30. The shadows of the forest floor were growing longer as the sun was setting in the west. The color of the trees were magnificent. They turned from yellow to red, purple, yellow to black, then all went gray. Then it happened. The most ungodly scream. A scream right from hell, right behind me, about 40 yards to my rear. It came from my backside, the side I never dreamed of anything coming from because of the high cliffs behind it. The sound I've heard before, and there ain't no recorded sound of this type coming from Bigfoot anywhere that's ever been recorded. I know the sound. Last year, at this same time of year, November, came around on the hill, and this creature stayed for a full week in broad daylight making these very same sounds. Sounds is kind of between a squeaking hand crank water pump and a jackass, and ends with a monkey grunting. Every hair on my body was standing. The sound, I'll try to imitate it, but this is a poor imitation, but I will attempt. The sound is sort of like, again, that's a poor imitation, but that gives you some sort of a sense of what it's like. Only magnify that about 100-fold, and you know what I heard there just at dark. Now, when I mentioned he was up here last year doing that scream and holler, he was up here for a full week running around south the house on top of the hill, and it didn't make any difference if it was daylight, evening, dark, he made those screams. And what I think maybe is maybe I'm in a mating ground area and maybe he was looking for a mate. I guess. I have no idea. But he definitely wasn't trying to hide. And that same year, that same time frame, I had two bow hunters up here. And one was name was Ken. And Ken called me on his cell phone and said, yeah, Doug, what do you want? This was 8:30 in the morning. And I said, I don't want anything. What do you want? He said, well, you drove by on your mule, and I figured you was looking for me. I said, nah, you guys signed in if I want you. I know right where you're at. Well, who was that on the mule? And I said, what color was the mule? He said, it was black. And I said, well, my Kawasaki mule is green. I said, did you hear an engine? He said, no. I said, how far was he from you? And he said, oh, about 30 yards. Well, I said, if it's 30 yards, you'd heard a motor. Did you see a person driving it? No, just seen a black object. And he headed west. And I said, well, west is the drop-off, 130-foot wall there. Yeah, I know. That's where he went, though. Or that's where it went. I said, there's no way. I said, let me ask you this, Ken. You've heard that unusual scream and holler for the past week around here on the hill. What would you see if a mountain gorilla walked by you? What would that look like to you on all fours? And he said, oh, man, you're freaking me out now. He said, that would look like your mule. I said, absolutely. You just probably saw Bigfoot. I said, no, I can guarantee you. I'll take it to Vegas on this bet that you did not see a mule. Well, at this time, he's really kind of shook up. He had no more encounters, but he knew something was amiss. Now, back to my story here. This same creature making the same type noises last year, he was right there. Well, evidently, he was right there behind me. And I felt safe and not protecting my back because, like I was saying, about 40 yards to the north is a 135, 140-foot drop-off. And there's no way in that a deer could get up there. And all of a sudden, he starts, or something starts, tearing the branches out of the ground and really grunting, like a really, really aggravated. Well, I've turned around facing that direction. I've got the wind in my face. There's no way he could have smelt me. I'm sure he saw me, is what it was. And it's dark now. I can't see anything, but I've got my rifle pointed over there, looking through the scope, and all I see is total black. A silk black curtain, maybe. But he finally crawls off the hill, and or he's hanging off the hill, going down the steep side, because I hear branches breaking and roots being pulled out. So I theorize he let himself down back there. And being a monkey, I suppose they can go a lot different places than us humans can. There's no deer that would ever be able to climb that that cliff. The scrub oaks, there's all over the side and even on the side of the hill. That's the only conclusion I could come to. So I stayed there in my stand a little bit longer, hoping that maybe he'd step forward or run or scream again or something. He didn't. He just he disappeared. So all was quiet after about 10 minutes of his last movement. It was so dark by now I could barely see the ground. I felt like Colonel Patterson in the movie Ghost in the Darkness. I was the bait, I felt like. If you ever get to see Ghost in the Darkness, he uses himself as bait several times to draw in these mad-eating lions of in Africa. He left, didn't give me any trouble. I was really thrilled of the unexpected encounter. I was in his way. He was starting to forage for food, I guess, or to walk around. It upset his balance, I'm sure, and it took me by total surprise. I might add, when I climbed down the ladder and headed back to the house, I had a lot to think about. I had learned a valuable lesson tonight. Don't ever underestimate a Bigfoot being able to go anywhere he chooses. I was thinking that to myself. Also, I was right in my assuming that he would be back again this November, like last November, when he hung around the house for a week during the daylight hours. Anyhow, it looked like a very interesting week ahead, and of course, it looks like a very interesting coming deer season, which starts October the 1st here in Oklahoma, will be the beginning of archery. So we should be getting a few more reports. Now, on November the 17th, deer gun season, this was after Black Powder, there's two gentlemen that are members of the club. One is named Chet, and the other's name is DJ. Chet and DJ are very good gentlemen. I really like both of them. They're both just excellent. It was about the fifth day of gun season. Let's see, I think it was November the 17th. Okay. The morning went pretty well with two deer harvested and some trespassing wannabes, Bigfoot hunters, told to get off or go to jail that was caught. They left after facing several armed and angry deer lease hunters. Most of the day was very warm. The temperature got up to the 70s, which is really warm for that time of year, but it's about common. There was a very light 5-mile-per-hour wind, and lots of brilliant sunshine and no clouds in sight. The evening hunt was warmer than usual, and everybody was excited about getting to their hunting stand after a full belly of good beans and cornbread with fresh sand bass, smoked over a hickory flame, sautéed in hickory pecan rub, and banana pudding for dessert. Iced tea and coffee to wash it all down with. Our spirits was up, and there was a huge 14-point, 295-pound buck seen that morning. Of course, everybody was hoping they'd be the ones to harvest a magnificent buck. So we all hurried to our appointed stands for the evening hunt with a great anticipation of harvesting someone getting to harvest that huge buck. As the sun set, I never saw anything but two nice big fat does. I let them live for another season because I've got plenty of deer meat in the freezer, and maybe the big buck will mate with these fine ladies and bring forth more of their kind for the next hunting season. As all the hunters came back to headquarters, my house, we all sat around the front porch and gave a play-by-play of what everybody seen from their particular stand. After the bull session was over, two of my hunters, Chet and DJ, they stayed and waited till everybody else left before they told me this fantastic story. They didn't want to tell the story as to scare the or upset the other hunters. So that's why they waited till all the other guys left. The story is as follows. DJ was in tire stand number 9. It's a 16-foot stand that is totally enclosed with a 5-foot box floor with shooting windows, and you've got a very good view from that stand. DJ's harvested some very interesting, nice bucks from that stand. But Chet, he was in stand number 8, which is a stand on the creek bank, approximately 300 or 400 yards south of stand number 9. Lots of trees and vegetation. They can't see each other, but they kind of have a crossfire if something comes in behind or in front of them. Maybe it's 600 or 700 yards, but anyhow, at 4:15, DJ noticed a large person walking towards Chet, which is in stand number 8. And DJ said that it really aggravated him to think that another hunter would walk through an open field during deer season and not be wearing a hunter's orange. So he threw his rifle up there to get a closer look, and he also noticed that the person did not have a rifle. And then he cranked his scope up on higher power and realized it was a Bigfoot. And he was very, very excited. He said, I put my scope on it. I noticed that it was between 6 and 6.5 foot tall. He described it as all black, skinny, walked with a normal walk, straight back, no slump over, walking like a caveman, but walked just like you and I would. Its arms were long, covered in black hair. He couldn't see the face from that distance that he was seeing the Bigfoot, but he could discern that maybe it had 3 or 4 inch long hair. He did say that it was as black as a skunk. It was very black. He was so excited, but yet he was fearful for Chet. This is the first Bigfoot DJ had ever got to see. He had been hollered at before and screamed at, but he had never got to visually see one. So this creature is walking towards number 8, which is where Chet's at. And he hollers at Chet. Says, "Come in, Chet. Over. Come in, Chet. You got a Bigfoot walking up behind you." And Chet thought DJ was joking, and he turned around. He said, I don't see anything." And DJ said, "Well, he just ran behind a tree. He's in that big old pecan tree back to the west of you, to the northwest. And he keeps hugging the tree, and he leans around and looks at you. He only has his head sticking around." And there was a pause, and Chet said, "I don't see nothing. I think you're pulling my leg." And he says, oh, well, never mind. There he goes. He ran at that point into the draw onto public hunting and disappeared. Now, the point is that the Bigfoot was going to walk by that stand, number 8. That stand's been there for 3 years, and he knows it's there. He doesn't know when there's a human in that stand, but it proved that this Bigfoot knew the stand was there, and he didn't care. He wasn't worried. Now, another thing the listeners need to, especially any Bigfoot hunters out there that's listening to this CD, and that is, all these stories are something you can pick from them and learn. For instance, it was around 4:30 in the evening when Bigfoot walked across a clear-cut field, a hay meadow. There were shelter belts every 200 yards, but he walked from a shelter belt across an open field that was about 200 yards wide. He was totally exposed. He did not run. He walked as well as you and I do. And he wasn't afraid. Now, this is, I don't know, fifth or sixth day of gun season. So he had seen other hunters in that area where he lives. And he's heard the shots from rifles. But yet it did not scare him, because here he is walking across an open field. Now, when DJ had called Chet to let him know that there was a Bigfoot coming up behind him, the radio crackled. You know, we hunt with these, we all carry these little walkie-talkies. And that's what the Bigfoot heard. Then DJ described it that he just stopped on a dime and kind of crunched or crouched over and then ran to the tree because he heard the radio noise up in that stand. He was looking at that stand several times from behind that tree. His body was hid behind a tree, and he only would stick his head out around it to try to see who was in the stand. And finally, he sneaked away and got into a ravine and disappeared. So these things are pretty smart, and but yet other times they act like they are fearless. Anyhow, back to the story. Upon coming out of the stand for Chet, it's 6:15. It's almost totally dark. In fact, he can't see very well, and he doesn't have a flashlight. He kept hearing a voice to the west of him. And Chet said that it was some other hunter hollering at him. And he said the other hunter would go, "Hey!" And Chet would say, "Stop." And he'd go, "What do you want?" Nothing was said. Several moments of silence. So Chet started walking again. He walked 10 or 15 yards. Then again, "Hey!" Chet stopped again. It's getting darker. He turned towards the direction from whence the sound came and go, "What do you want?" Again, nothing was said. So Chet thought, well, this guy is just playing me for a fool. So Chet walked on, and the thing hollered, "Hey!" And he didn't stop this time. He just walked on up to DJ. DJ's all excited. He's standing on the ground waiting for Chet to show up. And he says, "God, did you hear that? Did you see him? Did you hear it?" He said, "I didn't see nothing," Chet says. I didn't see a thing." And he said, "But some idiot was over there hollering at me." And DJ said excitedly, "That wasn't an idiot. That was Bigfoot." And Chet goes, "Well, if it was Bigfoot, how come he kept saying, 'Hey!'" And DJ said, "He's not saying, 'Hey!' He's saying, 'Ah! Ah!'" And so I just thought that was so comical. You would have had to solve this description and actions of way they did with their body language, but here DJ was just excited for it, and poor Chet thought it was some other hunter trying to harass him and never did get to see the creature. So that in itself right there will kind of make one to believe, well, maybe I'd better pay more attention to my surroundings. That may not be another hunter out there coughing or talking. That could be Bigfoot. Now, there's lots to learn from these things, and we just have to learn it as we go, basically, because there's nobody else out there that has a clue. There's lots of Bigfoot hunters out there. Most of them won't share with their information, and then a lot of us just bogus anyhow. But if we hunt together and share our experiences, we'll go a long ways in solving this mystery. I hope that everybody's been enjoying my stories. There's a lot of stories. I've tried to remember all of them. A lot of them I documented. I'm sure I've forgotten about many of them. There will be new stories as they build up, of course, because this is a continuation. I'm still living out here. Will be until I die, and there'll be other adventures, I'm sure. I sell these deer leases every year, and I have some of the same people that return, and some of them don't. And by each passing deer season, new events happen. New people have encounters. Some realize what they're having, and some don't. Like I was saying at the beginning of this program, I don't tell any new people what's going on because I don't want them to fabricate their own story. I just leave it up to the individual. If he tells me something strange has happened and he can give me a good description, I can pretty much tell him what it was, but I don't bring forth unless he actually sees it. If he just says there was something knocking on a tree, I know what it was, but I won't tell him. I'll just say, well, it could be another hunter out there or thereabouts or something like that. But when they tell me they've seen something very strange and it was black and it was walking on two legs, well, then they've seen Bigfoot. But I can tell from their stories about sounds, the sounds they heard, if they had an encounter or not. Now, in closing, I would like to recap of what I know about Bigfoot. And number one, as I told this earlier on the other tape, but I want to dissect it and go a little bit more over it. Bigfoot does travel some short distance or long distances by 4x4 mode. Now, remember the story I just finished. DJ saw this creature walking 200 yards, and it did not go down on all fours. In fact, he said he walked as well as he and I did. He had a very straight back. Some reports talk about one crunched over, crouched over, I guess you'd call it. But I have never, ever seen one crouched over while standing up, walking, I should say. I've seen some 5 foot sixes, Bigfoots, that were, well, they were very bulky and could have been misconstrued, I guess, that they were crouched over. But they weren't. It was just because they had big, beefy shoulders and no neck. But all the ones I've seen were, and that doesn't mean that all of them are like that, but the ones I have personally seen walk with a straight back, just like a human, not like an ape. The 4x4 mode, yes, I do know and do believe they do travel. I don't know what frame of mind they've got to be in to do that, but if you'll remember on one of the CDs when I told about hanging that fish and that Bigfoot taking that fish and leaving its track, and then I followed him in the creek bed and his tracks, and then he about every 20-25 yards he went down on all fours. There was the knuckle prints in the ground, if you remember that story. Well, yes, he went He went 4x4 mode, but about every 25 yards, he stood up, and then he walked for, 35, 40 yards, then went back down on all fours again. I don't know why, but that's the way he traveled. Now, number two, Bigfoot does sound like a peacock, which is one of his many screams. And yes, I saw him do it. The story hasn't been posted yet. I might also add that another of his calls, if you saw the movie Predator with Arnold, Arnold stood on the log and hollered, challenged the creature. The title of the movie was Predator. Well, that sound that Arnold made was exactly like Bigfoot. And it's sort of like this sound. Now you got to magnify that sound 100 times, coming from a huge, powerful lungs, and that's basically what it sounds like. And I've heard that sound not often, but occasionally. And it makes me wonder if maybe that's not the alpha male. And the other sounds are verbal sounds, I should say, is a peacock scream, just like on CD number one. If you haven't purchased that CD yet, I have an authentic Bigfoot sound on there taken from Randy Harrington, known as Driver Operator, that is also a member on the MABRC. And that sound is a huge... And it's a just earth-shattering sound. On the CD, you can hear the creature walking through a stream bed, walking through the leaves and the weeds, crunching them under his feet. And then there's two tree knocks, and then that hellacious scream, and he was very close to where Randy was, and he got that on recording, and I was given permission to post that on my first CD of mine that I have out. There's several other sounds. There's some hoot owl sounds that they will imitate, some coyote sounds. Most of the time, I can't discern them. Some of them I can. But he has different vocalization. We had a Bigfoot hunt out here last year, and two of the hunters, there was about 10 of us, and two of the hunters were in their tents, and separate tents, and they heard what they thought was gibberish, like Chinese. And they assumed it was one of the other guys out there talking with another guy, and maybe they were far enough away they couldn't really hear like intelligent language, but a gibberish. And this went on for quite a while. And finally, the creatures left. But they didn't know it at the time, but they had Bigfoot right up there, and one of the other members, Darren, the president of the MABRC, him and his wife was in their tent, and it tried to pick their tent up with them in it. And Darren hit the tent and hit the thing's leg, and it dropped the tent. And then they unzipped it and went out with the flashlights, didn't see anything. So there's several vocalizations these things make. Of all the recordings on YouTube and all those other sources, most of them I have never heard of. I won't say they're fakes. I'll just say I haven't heard them, but there are a couple that I have heard, the same as out here, so that's all I can go by is what I hear. And I'm sure there's some out here that I haven't heard yet. And number three, Bigfoot does knock on trees with an object. He'll knock on another tree with a tree limb. He'll knock on a metal T-post. We heard him knocking on a keep out sign, metal sign, and just bang, bang, bang. That's an incident where me and Randy came out, and he spent the night down the bottoms, and we started out hunting together, but I left at 10:30 at night, and he spent the night. But when he came out, we kept hearing this clanging on what we thought was my corn feeder, the legs. But upon the time we got up there, it was gone. Well, when we left, it started again. We went back, and it was gone. So it was later that I decided it had to have been my keep out sign. I've got a big metal 2 foot wide by 3 foot long metal sign. And I've got several of those signs down the western edge of my property. And we figured, well, that's the only thing he could have been beaten on that was metal. Back there in tower stand number one, DJ did have something thrown at him that was metal. It hit the stand and ricocheted off with a metallic clang to it. He didn't go looking for it because it was getting dark, but it upset him pretty good. He left. Number four, Bigfoot can be seen any time of the morning, midday, or night. I've personally seen him any time of the above mentioned. Which is true. I don't think there is a specific time. I think these creatures wander around when they darn well please, once they've had their nap or whatever. As an example, both my wife and my daughter had two separate occasions. They witnessed Bigfoot at 8 o'clock and then another time at 8:30 in the morning. And then the wife had her encounter at almost dark as it stood in the middle of the road. That story's on one of the other CDs as well. I've personally seen them in the daytime, morning, evening. However, my cameras, most of my encounters, and I've got two pictures of Bigfoot, two separate cameras. One of them is a Bigfoot walking by a corn feeder, and it just got the picture of his right arm and his left leg, his right arm, his right leg, and his right foot. And that foot looks just like the foot on the Patterson film whenever he's filming Bigfoot walking down a creek bed, because you can see the leathery sole skin underneath that foot. That was taken at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of my adventures happen 3 o'clock in the afternoon up till dark. But it seems like a lot of them start in right about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, there's many at night, of course. The Spencer's Creek hunt that I reported about, we saw 7 that particular night. At different occasions, not all at one time. So they seem to move about. And then, of course, the story I just told you about of DJ and Chet, of seeing that one walk across that open meadow. And that was at, 4 o'clock, 4:30. So it doesn't appear that these creatures have a set rule of when they're going to get out and walk about. It's just whenever they darn well feel. So there's the verbal signs, their language, the coughing experience, as I reported in the hunt at Spencer's Creek. This creature was coughing like he had tuberculosis. I mean, constant cough. And it sounded just like a person. That was the thing. That was the freaky part of it. It sounded like you and I out there coughing with a bad cold. But it was a Bigfoot. So if one's out in the woods fishing, hunting, or Bigfoot hunting, and you hear a cough coming from in the woods, that may not be another human being over there. That might be a Bigfoot. Now, number 5, I have never seen Bigfoot eat. And I'm sure he does. I just have not ever seen him eat while I've ever seen him. And as far as I know, I've never heard of anybody personally. I think there are some stories of someone seeing him eat wild hog, But I personally have never, ever seen him eat, and I've never seen him with any sorts of weeds or tree limbs or hogs slung over his shoulder. And I know he's got to eat, but I've just never seen him do that. I've found plenty of Bigfoot kills because his tracks would be right there beside the dead body, which I think he's very wasteful, extremely wasteful. I've found a dead cow several times, and the Bigfoot kill is they'll grab him around the neck. Of course, they're extremely fast. They're 40 miles an hour, and they'll catch the cow, calf, or whatever, and they grab that lip and pull their head back, hanging on that lip, and it'll break their neck. He's got his left arm around him, or right arm, whichever the case may be. But he pulls back hard enough on that that neck that it literally peels the skin off the face of the cow. And the skin will be laying on the back, still attached by the neck. And you're looking at the exposed skeleton, meaty substance of a skull, eyeballs intact. Kind of freaky, of course. And there'll be a portion of the cow leg pulled off. And I set over one such kill one time, trying to see if he'd come back. Now, he could have seen me, he could have smelt me, there's no telling, but he never came back, other than coyotes, possums, just your regular predators. But from that instance, I decided he's a very wasteful eater, and maybe he doesn't eat his meat as much as we think. Maybe he's more of a grain eater, or a grazer like a cow. And here's another topic. A lot of experts say that they don't understand something that can be so huge, have enough to eat out in the wild without messing with the balance of nature. And I find that statement, and this statement came from some supposedly quote-unquote experts, that statement is absolutely ridiculous. Well, look at a cow. A cow doesn't eat meat, but yet they're huge. You know, 800, 1,000 pounds, 1,500-pound bulls. And all they have is grain and grasses. Grain if the farmer feeds them grain, but basically they put on all their weight by eating grasses in the springtime. So maybe, possibly, Bigfoot is of the same nature. Maybe he's more of a grazer than a meat eater. And there again, this is all just conjecture on my part, but I've seen a lot of kills that he's been very wasteful on. The turkey kills that one of my deer hunters saw, and it scared him so bad he wouldn't come back. Bigfoot grabbed three turkeys and bit their heads off. Okay, so we assume, well, he eats turkeys. However, I did find a bunch of turkeys at another time down in a creek. I found 9 of them, and all that was taken was their breast, and, you know, their head was gone and the breast. So, is that what he do, is just eat all the breast and left the legs, everything? I don't know. But there was 9 of them, and they was about every 20 yards apart was another turkey dead in that same type of situation. The tallest Bigfoot that's been seen out here is 6'7". A lot of people talk about the 8-9 footers, 15 footers, the King Kongs, but me personally has only been 5'6" is the average, and the tallest I ever saw was that tall skinny one, which was 6'7", and that's the most I've seen. The tallest I've seen, I'm sorry. But some of the other people out here have talked about seeing some 7 and 8 footers. But I haven't. So I'm not saying they're not. But most of the ones I saw are the 5'6" variety, 5'8". Which can be interpreted as, again, as just another person in the woods from another observer. Maybe he sees a person walking and he's thinking, well, I wonder who that guy is. He's trespassing on me. I'm going to go over and kick his butt. And he gets over there, and it's not a person. It's a Bigfoot. So, Whereas the same person, same scenario, looking across the field, and he sees a person 8 foot tall, he's going to know it's not a person. So, and then number seven, all Bigfoots that I have seen have had black hair. I saw one or two that had reddish brown, reddish black. The wife and the daughter, the two they saw, was reddish, dark brown, black. But 90%, maybe more than that, percentile-wise, that I see are solid black. The black, so black that it's darker than a skunk hair. And a skunk is a deep black. I always call it the raven black. It is so black, it's got blue in it. Number eight, and I already kind of discussed that about the Bigfoot kills, about how they break the necks and they're kind of wasteful with the meat. Now, number nine, Bigfoot does leave bait piles. I found a couple of them on one particular hunt. I found a dead deer and a bait pile. It was a pile of acorns. Now, the acorns had even been hulled. Just the fresh meat exposed, and there was a pile, a pyramid-shaped pile that was about, a foot to a foot and a half tall, and the base of it was about, maybe 2 foot in diameter. And there's nothing on God's green earth that I can think that would do that, other than human. But, on the same token, what human's going to sit there and hull all those acorns like that? So, it wasn't a squirrel. A squirrel buries theirs. The only animal I could think of was Bigfoot, because there's the dead deer with parts of it missing. The neck broke, like I described on the cow, and parts of a heel track from a bare foot. Now, I found another pile like that, but it wasn't acorns. It was wild berries. So, this creature does have a mind. He can bait animals. So, that's really surprising, and each year it seems like we learn a little bit more about this creature. The last one I have is Bigfoot is able to deduct and reason. If you remember my story of him taking that fish down off of that bungee cord, he had dexterity and he had reason on how to take that thing off of the hook. If he didn't have reason, he would just jerk the whole thing off of that dead limb and commence to eat the fish. But he took it with him and left the cord. To me, that shows a sign of intelligence. In fact, it was plumb freaky. And maybe that's why we don't see them that often, is because they do reason. And they are intelligent. And they could be very dangerous if they so inclined. If you remember the Spencer's Creek hunt, that one followed us back up here to the house at 2 o'clock in the morning and threw a rock at us, which hit a tree. So, you know, they do have a reason. They are dexterous. They have a vocalization. And I really think that they are a quite unique animal, and they are an animal. I know people try to compare them with human beings. You can compare them a little bit. But, you know, as far as walking on two legs, etc. But other than that, they're just a really unique species of animal that is indigenous to North America and other parts of the world. And they haven't been found yet by scientists. That's what's so unique about it. We're watching these creatures. Well, I think I'm about to run out of time. So I'm trying to cram as much as I can. This is my last CD, by the way. This is volume 4. And I hope that I have given you an insight and an interesting story on the things out here. My name is Doug Bilby. I'm 62 years old. There's no reason for me to lie about these things. My email address is chiggers@hughes.net. That's Chiggers, C-H-I-G-G-E-R-S, at Hughes, Hughes.net, N-E-T. If you would like to contact me, personally, I would be happy to answer your questions. Again, I try to get as much as I can on these tapes so you'll get your money's worth. Good evening, and have a nice day. And it was enjoyable to tell my stories so that they'll forever be on record for someone else. If something ever happened to me, die of old age or accident or car wreck or whatever, all of these stories would have been lost. But I decided long ago that I needed to put all of these happenings of 25 years down on a CD, tape, or something, so that these memoirs of the area out here would be forever preserved. I'm only one of many people. I hope there's other people doing this. I'm the only one that I know of. But it'd be nice if the other hunters or other people, Bigfoot hunters, people that just like to walk around in the woods, would watch and hear, listen, and take down notes, and then record it for posterior reasons. But anyhow, again, I will sign off, and thank you very much. Good night.